We all know Kit Kat bars taste delicious, but what about how they sound? It's not just a catchy jingle. It's the satisfying crack of breaking off a piece of Kit Kat, followed by a crisp crunch. Oh, we forgot one other sound that accompanies Kit Kat bars, too. It's... or maybe it's more like... altogether, Kit Kat bars are music to our ears and yummy flavors to our mouths. Have a break. Have a Kit Kat.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Saturday, June 8th, and welcome to all of the sickos that are tuning in to talk about some AEW Collision here today. Man, we actually had a pretty good episode of Collision today. I'm looking forward to talking about today's show because we got some story development, and also there are several women that have been announced now for the Owen Hart Cup tournament. We didn't have any names before, and now we do have three names, and all of these names are looking really good. So we're going to break down the theories, get into some predictions of what may go down with all of that. We also got some additional stuff, including a very awesome opening match with FTR, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta that I can't wait to get into. On top of that, during the show, there was sort of some breaking news, I guess you can say. Definitely something that I know we're going to touch on in this show. And that is... some updates on Ricochet and whether or not he plans to stay with WWE. We're going to talk about all of that and more here today. Before I get to those big conversations, I do want to say, in case you haven't noticed already, this has been a really busy week here on the channel. On top of all of the streams that I have been doing, I also dropped two additional interviews back to back, everybody. I'm so happy because I kind of went through a little bit of a dry spell where there really wasn't too many interviews last month. And so I kind of feel like I'm getting back into the groove of things. And so I dropped back-to-back interviews. One with Bianca Belair, which I love, by the way. It's my favorite interview that I've ever done with Bianca. And I've interviewed her multiple times now, but because I had a little bit more time with her, I was able to get a little bit more. We did a nice little 14-minute interview, and in this, we were able to touch on the NXT Women's Division, Becky Lynch, her partnership with Jade Cargill. I felt like it was one of my favorite interviews in a long time, and considering that it was only 14 minutes, I was very, very proud of it. Then, just now, literally right before Collision started, I did an interview an hour before the show started with Roxanne Perez, who many of you guys know is headed into a big matchup tomorrow at NXT Battleground with Jordynne Grace, and that has sort of been the buzz going around. And for those of you who know, I cover NXT on a weekly basis, so I had a really great time chatting with Roxanne, getting her reaction, her behind the scenes when it comes to how she found out that Jordynne Grace was going to be her challenger at Battleground, how she feels about it, and all of that. Plus, she also played the lightning round with me, and I think a lot of people just you're gonna get to know Roxanne a little bit more in this interview. She's a very, very sweet girl, so if you want to see her out of character, this is probably the best interview to do that. So that is up there right now on the channel. And so there's just been a lot going on, and of course tomorrow I will be here for NXT Battleground, so there's just a lot to get into. So I'm trying to decide where to begin, and I'm going to begin with some super chats. So let's see what the people here are saying. First and foremost, shout out to Sheldon Jackson for gifting 5 DWO memberships. Who's Sheldon, been watching all of your pictures and stories of your trip in LA. Very jealous. Even though I live here, you're just exploring a lot more than I am. So jealous on that end. Yes. We got Roberto Arsenal here who says Toni Storm just cost herself the title by entering Mariah into the Owen Cup. This Toni Mariah story has been my fave for the women's story ever in AEW. Dude, I'm going to post my reaction to that announcement later on Instagram because I ran out of time. But literally the second she announced that Mariah May was going to be in the Owen, I'm like, oh my God, here we go, guys. I mean, we kind of already knew that the breakup was coming pretty soon, especially once Mina came into the picture, and we are going to see Toni Storm versus Mina at Forbidden Door. So I think we all already knew it was coming, but now, I mean, we can sort of foreshadow what we think may happen with that, and we'll break that down just a little bit more. Sheldon Jackson sends in a super generous super chat saying, I enjoyed the Hook and Samoa Joe beatdown of the premier athletes tonight. The ending with Shibata telling Sterling that there's no crying in wrestling via his phone was the chef's kiss to me. I'm looking forward to this faction. So right away, that's one of the things that I feel, one, felt different on this show. And two, I saw that a lot of people really enjoyed this on Twitter, because right away I was being tagged by people saying, like, I liked what they did here. And I think that the reason why this was good was because it's super simple. They've been beefing with these guys, with the premier athlete. They had this whole little promo where Hook shot Tony Nese down, which was very funny. I think that was on Dynamite, if I remember correctly. And then all of a sudden, they beat the living shit out of them in the locker room. It's so simple. It's just an attack in the locker room, but it went so far because it made Hook and Samoa Joe look like badasses. And that's the kind of duo that we want to see Hook and Samoa Joe, because we know what Samoa Joe is all about. And they've presented Hook in a really cool way as well. So I really do think that this little beatdown that they did in the locker room went above and beyond, and it just made them seem cool. And I honestly feel it's so ridiculous how simple it is to do something like that, yet how effective it was for the actual duo. And I feel like that's something I would actually like to see more of executed over on the Bloodline. I think that would be kind of fun if we saw more of those types of attacks with the new version of the Bloodline. Anyways, this is not a SmackDown post show, but because I was just talking about SmackDown this morning, that's why it's stuck in my head for right now. But anyways, so simple, yet so effective. And I'm digging what they're doing here with Hook and Samoa Joe, even though it's really just begun. But it doesn't feel forced, though. And I think that was the issue. When we had Hook and Chris Jericho, it didn't feel cool. It felt like Chris Jericho was trying too hard to bond with Hook, and it just didn't click. It wasn't natural. And this time it kind of feels like Samoa Joe is that cool uncle that freaking Hook just decided to bond with, and now they're hitting it off, and they found some mutual they have something in common between the both of them, and so now they're making that thing work. And so it just fits a little bit more, given also not only that, but hey, one of my favorite matches that we saw Samoa Joe in when he was AEW World Champion, believe it or not, was against Hook. I mean, we all remember that match with Hook and Samoa Joe. That was freaking awesome. So now we're sitting here going from what we saw with that match to now them being working together. This is good stuff. And I like to see, I'm curious to see where the rest of this is heading. Of course, it's still going to include the learning tree. That's just what it is. But I do think that this is just a far better scenario that we're seeing here. Sheldon Jackson also says, also wanted to get your thoughts on the rumors that Ricochet is letting his WWE contract expire and leaving WWE this summer. Because if it's true, I can't wait to see him competing outside WWE again. All right, so I was waiting for this. So we're going to go ahead and get right into that, everybody, because that is pretty big news. And the way that I want to do this is I want to kind of, let me just pull up the article here on F4W so that I can make sure to read this verbatim. So this is directly from F4W right now. And they basically said that PW Insider first reported the news just a couple of hours ago that Ricochet is expected to be written out of storylines in advance of his contract ending, the date of which isn't publicly known yet. So we still don't know exactly when his contract is exactly up, but it's coming up. And on top of that, it's looking like he is not interested in resuming with WWE, but is instead looking to let his contract expire. So now instantly, the second that we all saw PW Insider report this, we're all thinking, oh smokes, Ricochet is going to AEW. Now this is something that the second that Fightful had reported not too long ago that Ricochet's contract was up, period. They had announced that. And immediately people were like, okay, is he going to go with AEW or is he going to stay with WWE? And they also announced, you know, Chad Gable's contract was coming up. He was one of the people, and Natalya was another one. And I remember when Sean and I were doing the Raw post show, we were kind of going over some of the names of people whose contracts were coming up. And really the only person that kind of felt like they would jump ship was Ricochet. So now we get this additional report from PW Insider saying that he is planning on being done with WWE and looking like he's moving on to something else is pretty surprising, but not too surprising. So my first thought on this is, how do I say this? The grass is always greener on the other side. We're pretty soon going to get to a phase, and I guess you can say we're kind of in it already, but I think more so in the future, we are going to get to a place where we are going to see WWE and AEW talent go back and forth. They're going to jump around. I mean, we're going to see one person go from one brand to another, especially in the next couple of years. We're going to see people jump back and forth. And personally, to me, that's pretty exciting because that means that you're no longer going to, I mean, unless people want to stay in one company forever, the chances of seeing the same person in the same company, that especially when they get stale for like 10, 15 years, because there is no other option to go any other place and make that kind of money, I feel like those days are pretty much over, if not winding down already. So the fact that we have companies like AEW, this offers the opportunity for people that are no longer happy in WWE to go over to AEW and dip their toes in something new, right? And the same thing with AEW talent. You're seeing some AEW talent also, hey, you know what? I'm fed up and I'm going to go to WWE. Again, guys, the grass is always greener on the other side, and everybody has different stories, different reasons, different scenarios as to why they make the decisions that they do. And I think for the most part, the people that we've seen jump from AEW to WWE, we've all gotten it. We're like, okay, we understand. It really wasn't working out for them in AEW, so they went back to WWE. Cool. A recent example, Andrade was the first one that came into my head right now. Then you have now WWE talent jumping over to AEW, which you kind of saw a lot of, especially when AEW kind of first got started. You were seeing a lot of these big names jump over to AEW. Of course, some of the most notable ones being Jon Moxley, Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole. Those are just to name a few. Swerve Strickland. I mean, it's different scenarios for everybody. Don't get me wrong. Some people were released. Some people let their contract expire. Whatever, right? But we are now in a place where we are going to be seeing more of this. And that to me makes things way more exciting. It's cool that there is that option. And Ricochet is not a name that I don't think people are going to be surprised that he wants out from WWE, because the common conversation surrounding Ricochet for so many years is that WWE never utilized him properly. Like, how many times hasn't this conversation is so tired. We've talked about this so many times. Everybody's had this conversation. Everybody has seen this conversation on social media, being that WWE did not utilize Ricochet properly, right? For such a long time, they kind of kept him in almost like a jobber tier, or just on the low mid card. Like, he was never really a top guy. And it really wasn't until recently, when he was in that program with Logan Paul, was one of the most high profile things he had done with the company. And even just like the last few months have probably been the best for Ricochet in WWE, which is kind of crazy to think that now he is headed out. And so, yeah, him going to AEW is now an even bigger possibility. And I do think that he is, I feel like it would be naive to think that he's not going to go to AEW if he's already planning his exit from WWE. Also, keep in mind that him and Samantha, I mean, Samantha is, you know, the ring announcer in WWE. She's killing it. She's doing her thing. And the fact that he's willing to, you know, not be in the same company as the person that he's with kind of goes to show that he's wanting to do different things with his career and expand differently. And again, you don't know what's been going through his mind all these last couple of years and how he felt in WWE and maybe yearning and hoping for an opportunity like this. And guess what? Now it's here. And I know instantly right away when I shared that PW Insider's report on Twitter, right away people were like retweeting and commenting like matches that they want to see with Ricochet and other people, including I'm already seeing, of course, Will Ospreay was like the first name that popped into so many people's minds. And Will Ospreay has spoken about how Ricochet is legitimately one of his favorites in one of his favorite wrestlers. And I think he just spoke about it with me too in our last interview that me and Will Ospreay did. Like, he's always bringing up Ricochet. And then another person mentioned Rey Fénix. So Ricochet's style definitely fits into AEW. However, there are a lot of guys in AEW that can do that style. So it doesn't, I said this during the Raw post show, it's not that I feel like they absolutely need Ricochet here, but it is going to be a cool addition to the roster, that's for sure, because again, he can go with guys like Will Ospreay, Rey Fénix, and then also your younger guys, Daniel Garcia, Wheeler Yuta, like Dante Martin. Like, there's so many different people that Ricochet can work with. And no matter what, whenever you see someone jump from one promotion to another promotion, it's always going to get a reaction. It's always going to get a pop. And so that's sort of where I'm at with this whole Ricochet conversation. I do think that it is going to be, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see what he does. And I'm pretty sure he's probably going to end up in AEW. Like, that's honestly how I'm feeling about it. All right. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for this generous super chat. We got Adrian Carpenter here who says Ricochet is going to AEW with his friend Will Ospreay. Ospreay has been very vocal about Ricochet being underutilized in WWE. Yeah, like, I know he was asked about it in a separate interview where he spoke about it. I don't like to ask talent those kinds of questions sometimes because I feel like it's not really his place to sort of talk about. It feels like you're sort of setting them up for clickbait. So I don't ask questions like that. However, if somebody else does, then hey, it's interesting when you get those answers and you get those responses. And Will Ospreay is definitely not a person to shy away from his opinions and how he feels about things. So I did like what he had to say, like how honest he was, how he felt about Ricochet. Because again, Ricochet is somebody that he has been a fan of for such a long time. And we got Travis Lindsay here who says, Willow, Orange Cassidy, and Kyle O'Reilly in a trio I didn't know I wanted. Dude, I cannot wait to talk about the Willow, Chris Statlander stuff today. That's some of my favorite stuff they're doing on AEW. The women's division is cooking, guys. It's starting to cook. Mr. Team Bring It 123 says CM Punk's Collision over Current Collision. Yeah, I've been a fan of CM Punk's Collision for a long time. I've spoken about that. God, I feel like I was just talking about that last week, how there's so much that I miss from CM Punk's Collision on this Collision. But still, this particular Collision that we're talking about this week was good. Oh, hey, we got 554K in the house. Brendan, who I haven't seen in a while. What's up, dude? Says, not a bad show tonight. Also, how have you been? I've been good. I'm recovering from dental surgery that I had on Thursday, and I've been working nonstop, but I'm on the painkillers, so I am getting by. Getting by is the best way to put it. Will Chisholm says that Dustin promo sounds like a Cody promo if he was in AEW. I liked that we got a Dustin promo today. Thank you so much to Rolling Thunder 420 for this kind super chat. We got Big Hero Chris who says Ricochet versus Will Ospreay will feed nations. I love that, man. Yes. And when you, like, I can already see it. I mean, God, Tony Khan was just talking about how he's out there booking for the Sickos. That, my friend, is a match for the Sickos. Rolling Thunder 420 says, Denise, what's your reaction if Chad Gable told Maxine to grab the rope? What do you mean, grab the rope? What do you mean by grab the rope? Rolling Thunder 420, thank you so much for the super chat. Steven Marchulli says Ricochet will be a loss. However, Ricky Starks would be a very good pickup. Dude, I'm still wondering when the hell we're going to see Ricky Starks go to WWE. I don't like to be that person that's like, oh, this person to totally be in this company. It's fun to, you know, to talk about that stuff. I ain't going to act like I don't. I have a whole video up about it here on my channel. But Ricky Starks really is somebody that I can't imagine them dropping the ball with Ricky Starks in WWE, because first of all, he's definitely needed, especially if they were to put him on NXT. That would be huge. I do think Ricky Starks is a main roster talent. I do think NXT would be a step down for Ricky Starks, but because we do need him on NXT, I would say put him there, but not really, because I do want to see him on Raw or SmackDown. But again, I don't know what's going on with Ricky Starks right now. Chris Ludeck says, I don't think that Ricochet would stand out too much in AEW and would get lost there. A lot of mid-card guys have seen the grass isn't always greener. Yeah, that's kind of exactly what I was sort of alluding to when I said that they don't necessarily need Ricochet. For example, if this was Drew McIntyre, I would be like, dude, that would be a game changer for AEW, right? If it was Seth Rollins, game changer for AEW. Becky Lynch, game changer for AEW. With Ricochet, it's like, yeah, that's cool. You're going to get these good matches, but is it necessarily a game changer? Not necessarily, because again, there's a bunch of guys that can wrestle a similar style to Ricochet, if not different or whatever. You know, you do have a younger roster of guys that can do the flippy, like Reg likes to say, the spot foo stuff. You have those people on that roster. You have your Dante Martins, your Action Andretti's, so many others that I'm not even naming right now. You have them on the roster. But again, there is an opportunity to get these reactions. And no matter what, any jump to any company, especially between AEW and WWE specifically, is going to get a reaction. We got Sheldon Jackson here who says, don't forget to give the cameraman credit for filming the Hook and Samoa Joe beatdown Shibata. I hope Ricochet gets a chance to become a world champion. Dude, Shibata is freaking hilarious, man, with his little phone comments. First when he said that Samoa Joe was too large to wear florals. Leonard Aarons III says, excited to see Ricochet potentially head for AEW. Thank you so much to Leonard Aarons III. Jarrod, I think I got it. We have this issue every time. He says, if Tony Khan can't get a streaming deal for Ring of Honor from Warner Brothers Discovery, I believe Amazon Prime would be a great separate substitute. So when it comes to that, man, I really just want to see AEW on a streaming service. When I interviewed Tony Khan in January, we spoke about this, and I asked him about, you know, the whole the recent deal that was coming up with ESPN and whether or not we would see something there. Would we see something with this new streaming service? And he seemed like excited about it, but that doesn't mean like really anything's happening yet. But I can't imagine that Tony isn't going to be looking around and seeing what the best deal is. Plus, right now, I think WWE has sort of done a really good job at having their content in a bunch of different places. Like, they have content all over, digital, streaming, cable, everywhere. And I do think that would be something cool to see AEW also do as well, because again, you just don't know what the future looks like for cable. You don't know what the future looks like for a lot of this stuff. So having your content in different places where people can consume it from different directions and different places is only going to strengthen your product. And so I do want to see AEW hopefully announce a streaming deal soon. And we've been sort of waiting on that for a while now. Thank you so much for sending that in. We got Marquise Del Toro who says Ricky Starks will be NXT North American champion at most. No way, dude. This guy, I can see Ricky Starks becoming like world heavyweight champion. I can see it. He's got the persona to do that. He's not, you know, the biggest guy in the room. We know that. But he carries himself as a lot larger than life. And I think that that is what's going to help Ricky Starks moving forward. So we'll see what happens with that. But Marquise, thank you so much for that super chat. So let's go ahead and dive into the hot topics of AEW Collision. So I want to start off, honestly, with the women here, because that is really the thing that I most want to talk about. And we're going to sort of segue two different stories into one, because this is all gonna, you'll see. All right, so the big topic for today is the Women's Owen Hart Cup Tournament, because we have already known that's going to happen. They made the announcement at Double or Nothing, except that this time there's an added twist to this tournament. It's not just you get a fancy cup and a nice little logo on your nameplate. No, this time, the winner of both the men's and the women's will end up getting a title shot at Wembley. That is massive, guys. Massive. All right. So on one side, today we had Chris Dallander defeat Robin Renegade, which was a very fun little squash match, but that's not really the topic at hand. The topic at hand is that immediately after, Stokely Hathaway cuts this promo where he is building up Chris Statlander like she is the greatest thing to ever walk on earth. He's putting over her strength, her intensity, her power, her speed. He is putting her over so freaking much and really talking her up. And then he closes it off by saying that Chris Statlander is going to be the first woman to be the first woman to ever hold the TBS Championship and the AEW Women's World Championship on AEW because she is entering into the Owen Hart Cup. And so she's the first name to go in. And you're looking like that. You're looking at that and I'm going, okay, Chris Statlander, ever since she turned on Willow, we're seeing her cut more promos. We're seeing her consistently have matches, which she already was. She's always been somebody that's been featured. But now they're starting to build her up as more of a machine on the show. She's more of an ass kicker now than she was before. At least that's how it feels like they've been presenting her. Cool. All right. Chris Statlander is in. Immediately afterwards, we get this backstage promo with Willow Nightingale. And by the way, Willow is looking freaking good. We were just talking about this on Dynamite with myself and Reg. We were talking about Willow looking good. But she really is, man. She's glowing. Like her skin, she is glowing. I need to know what she is doing. But anyways, she enters herself into the Owen. She is a former winner of the Owen. So it makes sense. That she would be part of the tournament. So now you have Chris Statlander and Willow, who are both beefing with each other, vying for the exact same spot, both wanting to be the AEW Women's World Champion. Cool. All right. Oh, and both former holders of the TBS Championship. So whoever wins will, and if they do end up win, whether it's Chris or Willow who ends up winning the AEW Women's World Championship, like they would be the first one to hold both titles, which is very freaking cool. Anyways, that's one side of it. The other side of this is we had Toni Storm in an awesome match with Lady Frost, I may add. I just want to give really quickly some flowers to Lady Frost because Lady Frost is someone that, again, she's not with AEW. She's kind of all over the place and she's, you know, kicking butt. She's in Mexico. She's everywhere. Lady Frost, to me, is somebody that she is so fun to watch her wrestle. Because she has that acrobatic gymnastics background, she can do cool shit. And I feel like she gave Toni Storm a very different match. I feel like a lot of the matches we've been seeing with Toni Storm have sort of been very similar. There hasn't been a match that has really stood out to me. Her match with Serena Deeb was good, but it didn't, it's not a match that I'm going to remember for the next couple of years. And I'm not saying this one is either, but this one definitely stood out to me a whole lot more than what we saw there. So this match was fun for me. Like it felt fresh to see her in there with Toni Storm and having this kind of a match because it was just fun, man. It was really, really fun. And so anyways, Toni Storm gets her victory. Cool. But what happened afterwards is she sort of has this bonding moment with Mariah May. And Mariah and her have this, like, I don't even know what their relationship is. Like, I don't even know what to call it. It's like a friendship, mentorship with a little bit of, actually don't know what is the female version of a bromance? What is the female? Wait, hold on. I'm not thinking of this properly. What's the female version of a bromance? Or does it still count? Can I have a bromance with another woman? I mean, because I have bros. A bro could be a woman. So you can technically have a bromance, a woman. Okay, whatever. I'm thinking about this way too much. Whatever. They're having a bromance, mentorship. Here we go. Nick Blue says a situationship. A situationship. A sisterhood. All right. A sisterhood. Cool. Apprentice. Whatever. You guys know. You've seen it on TV. Anyways, they're having this moment and Toni Storm is telling Mariah, how she loves her. And for a second, I thought we were about to see some HLA action, guys. I was ready for it. I was like, all right, here we go. Like, so this is something's about to happen here. I really thought we were about to see a Trish Stratus, Mickie James kind of a moment, but we did not. Instead, she tells her that she loves her. And because of that, she wants her to have everything. And that everything includes her going into the Owen. And now Mariah May is in the Women's Owen Hart Cup tournament. So instantly, I think everybody here was like, oh no, this may be the moment that Toni Storm will go on to regret. Because I think if Mariah May wins, that means we would have Mariah May versus Toni Storm. And then what? Then what happens? I mean, Toni Storm is so aloof and she's, you know, crazy. So she might not see it. I don't think she's seen it. That's her character. So it works so perfectly to have Toni Storm be all like, the way she is. And so she's like, there's a very great chance that Mariah May could take this entire thing, guys. And we could end up seeing Toni Storm, Mariah May at All In. And so the second she announced that, I just thought, oh shit, here we go. This is the beginning of the end of this situationship. And it's someone earlier mentioned it's their favorite women's story in AEW. It's mine too, aside from the Chris Statlander, Willow, Mercedes stuff that they just did. But damn, this is the beginning of the end for Toni Storm and Mariah May. This is it, guys. This was good stuff, though. I'm excited for the Owen. And right now, the stories that are being made, like, there's only three people in it so far, and there's already two stories. There's already two stories with the three people that they've just announced so far. So I feel like this is coming, this is starting to look very nice. I like the stories we're seeing. All right, so we do got a super chat here from Leonard Aarons III, who says, it's going to be insane to have the G1 and the Owen running at the same time with similar stakes for both. This will be a loaded field for both sides with a title match at Wembley on the line. Yeah, I mean, I already have my picks, guys. I'm going to be real. I have my picks already. Now, for the men's side on Dynamite, they just announced, well, Brian himself announced that he was going to be in the Owen because he's been losing everything. He's about to be done with his full-time in-ring career. So I want to see Bryan Danielson win the Owen and go on to face, I'm assuming, Swerve at All In. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see Bryan Danielson get the win. For the women, just based off of the three people that we have announced so far, I feel like it's got to be Mariah May. It's got to be Mariah May so that we have that explosion moment between her and Toni Storm. And I think they can tell a really fun story there. So I already got my picks, man. They're set in stone for me. I mean, unless they announce, I don't know, God's entering the competition, I already got my picks set in stone here. So I'm feeling pretty good about them. And I'm feeling pretty excited about the tournament. And again, we don't even have that many guys. There's only one announced so far. So we'll see. Leonard Aarons III, thank you so much for the super chat. Appreciate it, man. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on and get into some other topics. That was really the big topic, but let's talk about some other stuff that went down on Collision. So the other one that we had was the opening match. And if you did not watch Collision, go out of your way to watch this match, everyone. I know that people are always asking, what should they go out of their way to watch? This one's it. Wheeler Yuta and Claudio Castagnoli versus FTR had a hell of a match, guys. This even got like a little standing.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
In between the match, people were getting up and cheering, chanting, this was awesome. This was so much freaking fun. My favorite parts in this match were, I mean, there were so many, but Dax and Wheeler Yuta were going at it very, very nicely. Like at one point you're seeing Dax chop Wheeler Yuta so freaking much. I'm like, dude, you're taking him down like he's a tree, man. Then we just suddenly see the pacing of this match get even faster, and it happens pretty quick. And at this point I'm thinking, like, these are the matches that I want to see play out on Collision. You guys know I'm constantly complaining about seeing the stars versus the jobbers. This was a situation where you did not get that. This was a situation where you got two teams that you actually care about, all four guys in here, and you want to see them have a good match. You care about the match and you care about the outcome. Now, this outcome was a little bit unexpected because AEW doesn't do this very often, and that is the time limit draw. But before we get to that, there was an awesome part, though. I got to mention this. So Dax and Claudio both do a sharpshooter, stare down that they do. I don't even know how to describe it, but they both lock in sharpshooters on the other person's teammate. And while they're doing this, then they start slapping the living life out of each other. And then it gets even cooler because Claudio starts hitting Dax with the uppercuts, but Dax is returning the favor with the chops. So it's like uppercuts versus chops. It was very fun to watch is what I'm trying to get at. But Claudio had a submission locked in. It looked like he was about to win the match, but time limit is up, and so match is over. And I will give AEW credit on this. I think they did a really good job of sort of calming the fans down, because this is what they did. With the time limit draw, the fans, they started booing, right? Because we're like, dude, we're getting an awesome match and we're not going to get a finish. And AEW fans, we love finishes. We want to see finishes. We don't like none of this. Like, if they do a time limit draw, it's not always something people like to see clean finishes. People like to see actual winners. That's just the thing that people like. Cool. So the fans are booing the hell out of this. And so it looks like they're going to do 5 more minutes. They all decide, let's do 5 more minutes to get the victory, right? Brandon Cutler comes out with the world's longest beard. I mean, his beard goes lower than my hair right now. That's how long this man's beard was. And he's holding a contract that says that this match was only for 20 minutes and he's representing the Elite, and 20 minutes is not 25. So what do? They team up together. They take out Brandon Cutler, rip up the contract. And I'm thinking, oh, are we still going to get the 5 extra minutes of the match? No, instead, both teams end up working together to get rid of Brandon Cutler. And then afterwards, Claudio tells FTR, like, hey, whenever, wherever, whenever you want, we're going to run this back once again. So I thought AEW did a good job of turning this around and making you pissed off at Brandon Cutler and sort of putting the blame on Brandon Cutler and the distraction with Brandon Cutler to avoid having to do the additional 5 months to end up getting an actual winner here. So I thought AEW found a good little loophole to not actually have to decide on one of these teams winning, because you got FTR. Like, FTR is FTR, right? Like, they're always going to be a favorite on AEW for all of the work that they've done, but they really haven't had like the best year. It's just been like a pretty mid-year so far. So they can really afford too much of a loss. And then Wheeler Yuta just came back, him and Claudio Castagnoli. Claudio's always going out there and having good matches. Let's not forget the awesome match that he had with Swerve Strickland a couple weeks ago on Collision. And so I feel like none of these teams should have lost, right? So I think AEW felt the same way, and they were like, all right, well, let's find a loophole in all of this and get everybody to blame Brandon Cutler and the Elite. So it worked out very nicely. This was a fun match. Please go out of your way to watch it. It was very, very good. Very, very entertaining. All right. So we got a super chat here from Travis Lindsay, who says All In feels early for a May win. Draw it out to Wednesday. Draw it to Wednesday. Not really sure. Sorry, Travis. I didn't really understand your super chat here, but I don't know what they're going to do. They could do a situation where they do have this match at Wembley. that could be an option. Because, I mean, what else are these guys going to be doing? And based off the match that they had here, I'm not going to complain if this match happens at Wembley. And I think the people that watched it here today are not going to complain if this match happens at Wembley either. Some people are saying he might have meant World's End. Okay. I'm not good with acronyms, guys. You could literally put DS and I'd be like, what's DS? Nintendo DS? What are we talking about? Those are my initials, by the way. Technically, my real initials are DMs, but I'm not going to get into that. I shouldn't have said that. I have pretty cool initials. I'm not going to lie. DMs? Pretty cool. Brandon says, I love the Willow story in the Women's Owen Hart tournament and also how it ties in with Orange Cassidy thinking he has no friends. And I love FTR. The FTR match A+. Yeah, I forgot to mention that when I was talking about the women, by the way, because we did have the main event between Orange Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly. Great match. But after when Orange Cassidy gets his win, he's attacked by Trent and Kyle. Kyle Fletcher. And then Kyle O'Reilly comes out and runs back and helps out Orange Cassidy, but he's also taken out because Chris Danlander also comes out and she basically tries to, I don't know what she was going to do to Orange Cassidy before she can do anything to him. Willow comes off and chases her away. So we're starting to see this like new friendship form between Orange Cassidy and Willow Nightingale. And again, these are two people that have something in common. They both got screwed by their other friends. So now a mutual friendship will arise from not having friends and being screwed from your friends. We got David Claplin here who says, in the last few years, have you ever seen a star fall like Britt Baker? Also, is Reputation still your favorite album or is it always revolving? Thanks. Great questions. So it's hard to say right now with Britt Baker because we haven't seen her on TV for such a long time. And it's not until she comes back and we see how the fans and how the audience react to her, how we're going to feel about whether or not her star is still on the rise. I think that Britt Baker is always going to be liked by the fans, especially the AEW fans. I think she's always going to have a soft spot with them because she's been there from the very beginning. I just think people need to be reminded once again about what Britt Baker can do. And I know a lot of people have been saying this over and over that they want to see Britt Baker versus Mercedes Moné. So at some point that needs to happen too. So I don't think her star has necessarily fallen, at least not right now. I have to wait and see how she's reacted to when she returns. If she returns and the fans don't give a damn, then I will agree her star has fallen. But until then, it's really hard to say until she comes back. And my first favorite album ever from Taylor Swift was for several years, it was Speak Now. That's why the name of this podcast is Speak Now Pro Wrestling, because of Taylor Swift's Speak Now album. And Taylor Swift wrote Speak Now all by herself. And when I started hosting Speak Now Pro Wrestling on F4W, I was hosting that show all by myself. So whatever, I'm not going to get into the similarities, but Speak Now always held a very, very soft place in my heart because it was my favorite album for years. Reputation came out and then I replaced Speak Now with Reputation because Reputation was my favorite album. And Reputation is still my favorite album. I haven't listened to it in the longest time because I'm still waiting for Reputation Taylor's version to come out. She hasn't dropped Reputation Taylor's version. So I haven't listened to Reputation in a very long time because I refuse to give anybody that is not Taylor Swift money. And I support Taylor and Taylor's versions albums. I stopped listening to all the non-Taylor Swift, to all the non-Taylor's versions albums. So because of that, it's been forever since I've listened to Reputation and it hurts. It literally physically hurts to not be able to listen to my favorite album. So right now I have primarily been listening to the Tortured Poets Department. And then I recently went back and have been re-listening again to Folklore and Evermore because I do love those albums too. I've also come to realize that some of my favorite Taylor Swift albums are all the ones that are in black and white, like Reputation, Folklore, and the Tortured Poets Department are literally my soul. I can't explain it. But anyways, I can't wait till Taylor's version for Reputation comes out because then I can go back and listen to my favorite album once again. Whew, that was a lot. David, thank you so much for the super chat. All right, so there's a couple more things we needed to get into in Collision. Not too much left, and then that's pretty much it. We had a match between Dustin Rhodes and Johnny TV. The big thing that came out of this is we had a promo from Dustin Rhodes where he's calling out Jack Perry for what he did to Tony Khan. It's then announced that he is going to be in a qualifier match with Jack Perry on Dynamite to determine who will go on to that ladder match to become TNT champion. I love this promo from Dustin. I thought it was very, very good. And I legitimately bought that he was upset and disgusted by Jack Perry's actions towards his boss, Tony Khan. So that was perfectly fine. We also had a Scorpio Sky promo. I feel like he's sporadically on the show every now and then. Like, we see him, then they don't bring him back. Then we see him, and then they don't bring him back. Teasing a heel promo. He felt like a heel in this. He's talking about being a people's hero. We'll see where this goes. I hope it's something good. I think he's probably in a phase where he has to sort of reinvent himself. And so we'll see what they do with Scorpio Sky there. We also had Daniel Garcia defeat Tate Mayfairs in a singles match, which was good. We already talked about the Samoa Joe Hook beatdown. So we talked about that backstage beatdown on the Premier Athletes. And I think that's pretty much it, everybody. Next week for Dynamite, we're going to have Dustin versus Jack Perry, as I mentioned, for the TNT qualifier. Roosh is going to be in action. TV time with Chris Jericho. And of course, the big match everyone's looking forward to, Will Ospreay versus Rey Fénix. Also for Collision next week announced is the 1 year anniversary of Collision. We're going to have a Christian Cage Father's Day special. Lord, prepare for that, because I have no idea what to expect from that. Lee Moriarty versus Dante Martin. House of Black returns. And then Deonna versus Thunder Rosa in a no DQ match. I think this is like their third or fourth match already in AEW. So they're definitely milking the chemistry that Deonna and Thunder Rosa have. We got Travis Lindsay here who says, True Swifty right here. Let's go. Exactly. You got to support Taylor's version, everybody. I won't have it any other way. Got to support Taylor's version. All right, everyone. There you go. That was AEW Collision for today. As a reminder, guys, next week, if you see less podcasts on here, that's because I am going to be in Glasgow, Scotland. I'm leaving Tuesday and I'm going to be back Sunday, I believe. Yeah, I think I'm back Sunday in Los Angeles. So I will be gone for a couple of days. That does not mean my podcast is canceled. It just means that I have my attentions focused elsewhere. Keep an eye out here on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo for the audio listeners. Keep an eye out for all of the Clash at the Castle content. Watch it, please. And we'll see what comes of the week. Please check out the interview with Bianca Belair and Roxanne Perez. They are awesome. I especially love the one that I did with Bianca. I really feel like we touched on so many cool topics. And then Roxanne Perez is just the sweetest. You can check that out before NXT Battleground tomorrow. And I will be here live to talk about that show tomorrow. Alrighty, everybody. Have an awesome day. And I'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye.
We all know Kit Kat bars taste delicious, but what about how they sound? It's not just a catchy jingle. It's the satisfying crack of breaking off a piece of Kit Kat, followed by a crisp crunch. Oh, we forgot one other sound that accompanies Kit Kat bars, too. It's, or maybe it's more like, altogether, Kit Kat bars are music to our ears and yummy flavors to our mouths. Have a break. Have a Kit Kat.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad
stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh. The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.